Shavua Tov. Let's continue in our introduction to Kodshim. And you may recall that last week we spoke about various cases of Psulim. We spoke about Shalo Lishma, Shalo Lishem Bailim. We spoke about Pigul, Chutzim Mano, Chutzim Komo. In the case of Korban Pesach, we have two unique halachos that don't apply to other kodshim. And one of them is called Shaloli Ochlov, which means, let's say you have an older person, a zakin or a chole, and it's impossible for him physically to eat a kezias of the Korban Pesach. So in such a case, if the Kohen had in mind to do the avoda on behalf of a chola or a zaken who's eino roi l'achila, that's called shaloli ochlov. And that's a separate category of a psul, so that the intention of the Kohen when he shechts the Korban Pesach has to be for someone who could eat at least the minimum of a kezias of the basar. And the reason for this is because the shechita of the Korban Pesach is not only the shechita of Kodshim, which it certainly is, but it's also the shechita that sets up the mitzvah of Achilas HaBosar. And this is going to be another example where the Achilas HaBosar is part and parcel of the Avodas HaKorban. But again, we're only talking about shechita now, keep in mind. In all the other psulim, we apply those psulim of shalol lishma, shalol lishem bailov, or chutzim koma, chutzim zmano. They apply equally to shechita and to all the other avodas, which means kabbalah sadam and zrika sadam. It's all one and the same. A machshava poseles applies to any of the four avodas. But in the case of the very unique psul in Korban Pesach of Shalo Li Ochlov, where you had in mind someone who's incapable of eating at least the minimum of Kezayis Basar Pesach, that's a psul that applies to Shechita and only to Shechita. Then we have something called Shalo Limnuyov, another psul that's unique to Korban Pesach. The Avodas HaPesach requires what's called Minui, Sell each bias, and then the entire group has to gather together and designate this particular seh as a Korban Pesach. Those who are part of the Minui, they can eat from the Korban Pesach. Those who are not part of the Minui cannot eat from the Korban Pesach. Now, supposing the Shechita was done for the purpose of the Achila of someone who is not Manui, he's not part of the Minui. Once again, we have a unique psul, only by shechita, not by all avodos, that if the shechita was shalo limnuyav, that will invalidate the korban. Now, what would be if he had a joint machshava? His machshava was both limnuyav and shalo limnuyav. That's going to be the subject of the sugi that's coming up on daf samachal. Now, I want to continue with another general description of psulim in kodshim, in general kodshim, and see how that applies to the case of Korban Pesach in a very unique way. After shechita, we get to what's called the Avodas Adam. Now, with regard to the carbon itself, I mean the Basara carbon, we could divide up the Basara carbon into various components, three basic components. There's the Dam, there's the Emurim, and then there's the Shara Basar. As we saw in the Rambam, that there's a shara basar, which can be eaten either by zichrei kuhuna, in the cases of chatos and osham, or in the case of shlomim, even to bailov. So we have the dam, and we have the emurim. The emurim are burnt on the mizbeach. The dam requires a zrika on the mizbeach. And then we have the shara basar, which is eaten by either the kohanim or by the bailim in the case of shlom. What happens after shechita? Okay. Shechita really changes the whole nature of the korban. We have what's called kedushas peh, and that means that when a person declares harezu ola harezu chatos, that declaration generates kedusha in the animal. It becomes kadosh l'mizbeach. But then we have a higher level of kedusha that gives it almost the status of mizbeach. It's almost like it's on the mizbeach, and that elevates the level of kedusha. So let's see if we can flesh this out. Now, if we're talking about before shechita, that's called a kedushas peh, which in English, I guess you'd call it an oral designation. You've designated it as a korban, but orally. But with shechita, there's a whole new entity here. It is the korban itself. It's no longer, well, I designated for a korban. Shechita makes it into the korban. It's now elevated to the status of a korban. This new status opens up the basar to new psulim that would not apply before shechita. And those are the three psulim of yotze, of nitma, and of lina. So yotze means that the basar was taken out of the area of the korban. Tame means that the basar contracted tumah. And lina means that the basar was left beyond its allotted time. Every basar, every korban has its allotted time for achila. All these psulim are chal with the shechita. Why? Because now we have korban begufo. The kedusha is not just the kedusha's peh because I've designated it, but now the korban itself is kadosh inherently. And if that basar korban is taken out of its place, that's called yotze or lina, if it's extended beyond the time for achila, and even if it's nitma, in all those cases, there's going to be a psul in the korban. And once again, the psul will apply to every one of those three categories, whether it's the dam, whether it's the murim, or whether it's the shara basar. Okay. Now, let's see if we can understand at this point how Korban Pesach is unique. In all Kodshim, if the Dam remains Koshel Mizbeach, Koshel is Rika, the Korban can be salvaged. So let's say, for example, after the shechita, the basar was taken, what we call yotze, was taken out of its designated area. The basar now is invalidated, but the dam remained inside the azara, for example, in its designated area. Even if the emurim were to be taken yotze, or become contract tumah, or after lina, true, the basar now is completely possible, it's invalid, but if the dam itself still retains its status as royal Izrika, then the Bailim would achieve kapara through this karban based on the Zrika. You see, what we have to... This is the most important introduction to Kodshim, and that is how critical and how much of a superior role can we attribute to the Zrikas Adam. The Zrikas Adam is the essence, the quintessential Mechaper. So that even if the Basar and the Murim became disqualified, they were Nifsal. I can no longer eat the Basar. I can no longer be Makta the Murim on the Mizbeach. They were subject to these Psulim of Yotze, Lina, and Nitma. Nevertheless, as long as the Dam retains its status of royal Zrika, you can now do the Zrika the Dam, and the Bailim will achieve Kapara. They don't have to replace this Karban with another Karban. So here you have a case where the Karban is kosher, Olo L'Shem Bailim, it's Mechaper and has a Ritzui, despite the fact that the Emurim will not be burnt on the Mizbeach, nor will the Basar be eaten by the Kohanim or by the Bailim. But here, Karban Pesach is different. As we said before, the purpose of the Karban Pesach, the Karban itself, is to lead up, to culminate in Achila. The Achilas HaBasar, V'Ochlas HaBasar B'Layla Zeh, is the essential, or shall we say, is the critical part of the Karban. Now, what happens if the Basar HaPesach becomes disqualified? Let's say, for example, with a psul tame, a psul yotze, a psul lina. In such a case, the karban is completely possible. Why? Because the mitzvah of karban pesach and akrova has to lead up and culminate in achila. If you've now excluded achila because the basar itself was possible, it was invalidated by one of these three psulim, then the entire enterprise of the karban is completely invalid, undermined. And that makes Karban Pesach very unique. Okay, that's the part of the Hakdama that I wanted to continue with today. And now, I want to go back to discuss something that we discussed the first time we started Perek Tamid Nishchat, back in the Mishnah. And let me just review what we said when we were medayik in the Mishnah, that the Mishnah uses the terminology Arve Psachim in the plural. And we were wondering why Arve Psachim and not Erev Psachim. And we quoted the Tzlach, and he says that just like with regard to the 14th of Nisan, on Erev Pesach, we shech the Karban Pesach after the Tamid, meaning that although all Karbanos, with the exception of Pesach, should be brought before the Tamid, I'm talking about Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, obviously, not so in the case of Karban Pesach. Okay, that's on the 14th of Nisan. So first, I do the Akrova of the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, and then I start with Pesach. What about on the 14th of Iyar? Do you remember this? A Tamei, Haya B'derech Rechoka, he's not included in Pesach Rishon. He has the opportunity of Pesach Sheni. We're now fast forwarding to the 14th of Iyar. Do we still have the same halacha that the Karban Pesach, in this case Pesach Sheni, should be brought not before the Tamid, like any other Karban, but after the Tamid, like Karban Pesach, meaning Pesach Rishon? To what extent do we identify and equalize Pesach Sheni with Pesach Rishon? And what I'm going to try to prove to you is that the reason why Pesach Rishon is brought after the Tamid does not apply to Pesach Sheni. And if the Tzlach will come to the conclusion that Pesach Sheni, like Pesach Rishon, should be shechted, the Hakrava should be after the Tamid, then the only way we could justify that is because of some inner connection, or shall we say, an equation between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. If you don't postulate that equation, then we're going to try to prove that the Pesach Sheni should be brought before the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. And why is this so? What's the compelling logic that Pesach Sheni is different than Pesach Rishon, whereas Pesach Rishon is after the Tamid, Pesach Sheni should be before the Tamid? So the answer to this lies in the answer to another question. Why is it that Pesach Rishon comes after the Tamid? I mean, everything that we've been learning since we started this perek is predicated on this one principle, that as opposed to all korbanos which have to be brought before the Tamid, Korban Pesach has to be brought after the Tamid. Why is this so? And the Gemara is going to tell us later on that in the case of Tamid, it says Bein Arbayim. But in the case of Korban Pesach, it says not only Bein Arbayim, but also Ba'erev. The addition of the word Ba'erev in the case of Pesach teaches us that we have to delay the karma to the evening. What does it mean, the evening? It means after the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. So the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim only has Bein Arbayim. And the Korban Pesach has not only Bein Arbayim, but it also has Ba'erev. Okay. Now, just looking to see if I can find this inside, because sometimes I don't want to rely just totally on my memory. Let me just see if I can find this. Let's see. Makriven es ha-tamid lifnei ha-pesach mishu she-be-pesach nemar bo gam ba-erev ve-gam bein harbayim ve-tamid lo nemar bo ela bein harbayim. So we have that, Rabosai? Again, if I put this on the whiteboard. In Pesach, like in Tamid, it says Bein Arbayim. So that's fine. They're equal. But in Pesach, we have an additional word in the Torah, Ba'erev. And that addition of the word Ba'erev teaches me that the normal halacha, that the Karban should always be brought before the Tamid is suspended with regard to Karban Pesach, and the Karban Pesach should be brought later than the Korban Tamid. Says the Tzlach, and the Tzlach is going to claim that he found this in Tosfos, not here, but in a different Masechta. Herein lies the difference between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. In Pesach Sheni, we have Bein Arbayim, but we don't have Bo'er. Isn't that cool? In other words, the whole reason that Pesach is the exception to the rule, and we delay the Korban Pesach till after the Tamid, is because of the extra word Ba'erev. In Pesach Sheni, we don't have the extra word Ba'erev. And he says that Tosis in Yuma, make a note of it if you can, on Daf Chavtes, vacillates back and forth. Ha'im gam bePesach Sheni, dino li karev achar tomit shel be'erbayim, o shema yicholim lahakriv esach sheni Pesach Sheni lifnei atomit me'achar v'din zesh makdimim esach tomit lePesach hu mishum shebePesach nemar bo gam ba'erev uBePesach Sheni lo nemar bo ela bein arbayim. It doesn't have the extra word ba'erev. So Tosis in Yuma on Chavtes vacillates about this very point. Should the Pesach Sheni come before the Tamid because it doesn't have the extra word by Erev like Pesach Rishon? Or shall we say that just like Pesach Rishon, the Torah taught me by adding the word by Erev has to come after the Tamid, so we apply that by equation, by analogy, to Pesach Sheni as well. And Pesach Sheni will come after the Tamid, even though it doesn't say Ba'er. That's the suffix of Tosus in Masechta Yom. Now there's another Tosus, and that's in Menachos on Daf Memtes. So again, in Yuma it's on Daf Chavtes. And in Menachos, it's on Daf Memtes. And Tosef Menachos says outright, Bepshitus, he doesn't even vacillate or question this point, that Pesach Sheni, like Pesach Rishon, is brought after the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. Hands down. No doubt about it. Now, what is the issue here as to whether Pesach Sheni should be brought after or before the Tamid? True, as the Tzlach points out, based on Tosis in two places, we don't have the word Ba'erev in Pesach Sheni. But let me ask you the following question. Who cares about Ba'erev? I'll tell you why, Lefi Ani'as Daiti, Pesach comes after the Tamid. We have a principle called Tadir V'She'eno Tadir, Tadir Kodem. In Kodshim, if you have two Karbanos, and the question is which should come first, so that which is Tadir, which is a continuous and common Karban, that comes before Eino Tadir. But I'll tell you why Pesach should not come before the Tamid. I'm sorry, the other way around. What I mean to say is, I'll tell you why the law of Tadir, which should give Kedima to the Tamid, does not apply because of the Din of Hashlama. Right? Let's read our Gemara. Our Gemara says, "Derachmona Omar, Olea Chelbe Hashlom." So we're about halfway down the Omar, right? You'll see Tosafot Midrash Midi. right above that Tosfos. With regard to the Karban Tamid, Rachmana Amar, Olea Chelbe Hashlam. The Amar Mar, this is Rava, Olea Hashlem Kola Karbanos Kula. That we should not be makriv any karban before the Tamid. But rather, the Tamid should be the last karban. You and I would have said, no, the Tamid should come before any other karban, because Tadir Vishenu Tadir Tadir Kodem. And the Tamid has the advantage of Tadir. Comes along the Torah, Olea chelbe ashlamim, olea hashlem kol hakorbanos kulam, not to be makriv any korbanos after the tamid, or to flip it around, not to be makdim the tamid, which you should have logically have done based on the universal principle of tadir v'sheinu tadir, tadir koda. So the requirement of hashlama, of hashlem Olea Hashlem Kol HaKorbanos Kulam, now undermines the halach of Tadir V'Sheino Tadir, that Tamid has the great advantage, you know, we'll give it a badge, of Tadir, and therefore it should have come before any Karban, but no, we're going to postpone the Tamid, and be makdim all those Karbanos that are less Tadir, they don't have the advantage of Tadir, because of this drasha, and this halacha of Aleha Hashlem, Karakoros Kulam. Now, Rabos, I understand why I need the Pasuk Ba'erev. Once I have derived from this Pasuk of Hashlama, that it's the Tamid has to come at the end. It's at the end of the train. It has to be the last carbon of the day. Is Memela, carbon Pesach, should come before the Tamid, but in the case of Tamid, we have Bein Arbaim once. In the case of Pesach, we have Bein Arbaim once. And in the case of Pesach, in addition to Bein Arbaim, we have the word Ba'erev. And Ba'erev tells me that the Korban Pesach should come after the Tamid, regardless, or shall we say, undermining the normal halach, the principle of Hashlama. Now, what I don't know is whether is this halacha in the Tamid, or is it halacha in the Pesach? It could be that this is halacha in the Tamid, meaning that we're going to grant the Tamid rights of Tadir, vis-a-vis the Korban Pesach. I now have two Korbanos, the Tamid and the Pesach. They're both Chal at the same time. We'll call it Bein Arbayim. And now I don't know what to do. Which should I bring first? If I operate with the Halach of Tadir, so then the Tamid deserves to be first. But if I apply the principle of Hashlama, then the Pesach should come first, because the halacha and the requirement of Hashlama undermines the halacha, the normal halacha of Tadir. So I'm in a bind. I need a kasuv Ashlishi. Let's go over it one more time, for my sake. One kasuv says that the Tamid should come first. Why? Because Tadir. You have to give kavod to the Tadir. The other pasuk says, Olea Hashlem es kol hakorbanos kulam, that all the korbanos come before Tadir, and Tadir closes the gates of the Mikdash for the day, so to speak. And therefore, the Korban Pesach should come before the Tamid. I'm in a bind. I have Shnei Ksuv Mamachishim Zetze. So what's the cost of Ashlishi? Ba'erev. And Ba'erev tells me that with regard to the Korban Pesach, there's no halacha of Hashlama. Hence, the Korban Pesach will be brought after the Tumah. And that's Ba'erev. Ba'erev means even later in the day. Aber Pesach Sheni, it doesn't say Ba'erev. So if I don't have Ba'erev, then Pesach Sheni should come before the Tumah. Why? Because Aleha Hashleim Kol HaKorban is Kulam. But wait a second. The Tumah should come before Pesach Sheni because Tadir V'Sheni Tadir Tadir Kodeh. And I'm back to square one. I don't know what to do. So in the case of Pesach Rishon, I have the extra Pasuk Va'erev. And that's going to teach me that there's no Din of Ashlama with regard to Korban Pesach. And the Korban Pesach, therefore, will come after the Tamid Shal Ben Arbayim because the Torah added the word Va'erev, telling you to bring the Korban Pesach later. But in the case of Pesach Sheni, I don't have the extra pasuk ba'erev. Ba'erev doesn't appear in the parasha Pesach Sheni, and hence I don't have a way of undermining the din of Ashlama. So if we apply the normal din of Ashlama to Pesach Sheni like we do to any other korban, the korban Pesach Sheni has to come before the Tumah, so that the Tumah will be after the Pesach Sheni. On the other hand, I have a motivating factor or principle to shech the Tumah Shel Ben Arbayim before the Pesach Sheni, and that's because Tadir Sheni Tadir Tadir Kodeh. So Tosfos Menachos that we quoted before on Daf Mem Tes says hands down, he has no doubt about it, that Pesach Sheni should be brought after the Tumah Shel Ben Arbayim. Even though we don't have the word Ba'erev. So what's going on? So perhaps we could suggest that Tosfos in Menachos is of the opinion that what we derive from the extra word Ba'erev is that with regard to Korban Pesach, we should go back to square one, and that is Tadir V'Sheino Tadir Tadir Kodem. The only reason we had doubts about applying Tadir V'Sheino Tadir is because of Ashlama. The extra word Ba'erev tells me to discount Hashlama. And Memela, once I discount Hashlama, then I understand full well why the Tumah should come before the Pesach, because we're going to apply the principle of Tumah Tadir V'Sheino Tadir Tadir Kodem. Is Memela Tosfos Menachos maintains that Pesach Sheni, I'm caught in this bind. I don't know whether it should come before the Tumah or after the Tumah. And the answer is, let's apply the universal principle of Tadir V'Sheino Tadir Tadir Kodem. You'll ask me, but I don't have the Pasuk Ba'erev in Pesach Sheni. I only had that in Pesach Rishon. The answer is that the extra word Ba'erev is telling me that Tadir, meaning that the Tumah should get its, as I call it, its badge, you know, it's coming, it's due that's coming to it, and it should come first. Ashlama, the Torah takes Korban Pesach out of the parasha of Ashlama. And by doing so, it puts it back into the parasha, the mechanism of Tadir. And now Tosfos says, I'm going to apply the same to Pesach Sheni. All I need, says Tosfos Menachos, is a Gili Milsa, that the principle of Ashlama should not interfere or trump the principle of Tadir. So it brings me back to square one, what I assume before I had this drush of Rava that we see here on our daf of Olea Hashlem is Kolagros Kula. Before that, I would apply the principle of Tadir, and therefore the Korban Pesach should come afterwards. But now I have a problem because Olea Hashlem. So now I have the pasuk of Ba'erev that tells me to discount or ignore the principle of Ashlama. Once I neutralize the principle of Ashlama, then all you know, all systems go, everything is clear, to apply the principle of Tadir V'Shein and Tadir. The only reason I didn't apply the principle of Tadir is because of your drasha of Hashlama. But obviously your drasha of Hashlama doesn't apply to Karban Pesach. Now I could go back to universal principles of Tadir V'Shein and Tadir. And that's exactly why the Pesach Sheni should come after the Karban Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, because the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim is Tadir. But what do we do with Tosis and Yuma? Tosis and Yuma Daf Chavtes says that if there's no Ba'erev in Korban Pesach Sheni, then Pesach Sheni should come before the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. Obviously, he's not operating with Tadir. He's operating with Hashlama. So if from his perspective, Hashlama is paramount, well, in the case of Pesach Rishon, we're not going to apply the principle of Hashlama. Why? Because of the extra Ba'erev. In Pesach Sheni, I go back to the principle of Hashlama. In other words, Tosis and Yoma and Tosis and Menachas have two different approaches to Hashlama. Let's start backwards. We'll start with Tosis and Menachas, which we started with. Tosis and Menachas says that what I need for Ba'erev, from Ba'erev, is to derive that Hashlama doesn't kick in the case of Korban Pesach. I'm going to apply that to Pesach Rishon, to Pesach Sheni as well, if by neutralizing Hashlama, I go back to universal rules. The general rule is that Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir, Tadir Kodem. And if we're going back to universal rules, then Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim has to come before the Pesach Sheni. And Tosfos Menachos doesn't even doubt that. We've got to give the Tamid its due. You know, we got to recognize it as the kingpin. It is Tadir. There's nothing more Tadir than a carbon Tamid. Almost by the nature of its name. Is Memela, if the Hafkav Hashlama through the mechanism of Ba'erev, the extra Ba'erev in Pesach, is just simply telling me that with regard to Korban Pesach, let's go back to the universal principles, then it's going to apply to Pesach Sheni as well, because Pesach Sheni should fit into all the universal principles of Korbanos. And all the principles of Korbanos would tell me that the Korbanos should come after the Tamid. Why? Because of Tadir Sheinu Tadir Kodah. Now, Voss, you have a problem with Hashlama, so I'm going to neutralize the problem with Hashlama by telling you that there's an extra buyer, so that Korban Pesach is not included in the mitzvah of Hashlama. It's Mevela, I go back to Tadir Sheinu, Tadir Kodem. Hence the plural in our Mishnah of the word Arve Pesach, because the same halacha that applies to Pesach Rishon now applies to Pesach Sheni, and that's Arve Pesach. Tosis and Yuma is not happy with it. He vacillates back and forth. He thinks that the purpose of the extra Ba'erev is to neutralize Hashlama. But Hashlama is a major force. It's a power that has to be reckoned with. Hashlama really removes the principle of Tadir. Forget about Tadir. The Torah says that the Korban Tamid has to come at the end. So forget about Tadir. The Torah, so to speak, has robbed the Korban Tamid of its badge and says Hashlama. Well, we'll give you another badge. You're going to be the Choshev Korban that's going to close the Beis HaMikdash on a daily basis. You're the Fanal. Achron, Achron, Chav. Special Chavivus to the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. So if that's what Hashlama teaches me, then forget about Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir. We're in a whole new world here. And that's the world of Korban Tamid. The Tamid has to come at the very end of the day. Oh, but what about the fact that in Korban Pesach it says Ba'erev? Okay, that's a din in Korban Pesach. But that it only says in Pesach Rishon. You have no right to apply that to Pesach Sheni. Because how could you undermine Hashlama if you don't have a special pasuk and a yalfusa to teach you that we neutralize Hashlama? Okay. Now, Rabosai, I want to get back to this very strange Rashi. You remember that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had a pasuk in Chumash, Bein Arbayim, in which he took the Erev from midday until sunset, and he split it into two equal halves, and then he gave an hour for the Akrava of the Karban Tamid, and came to the conclusion, therefore, that the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim should be brought at Shmona V'chetz, at 8.5. So Rav immediately attacked him. And he says, what do you mean? You mean that from Bein Arbayim you derive the conclusion that the Tamid should be brought Bishmonu Mechza? And what about the case of Erev Pesach? And what about the case of Erev Shabbos Shechalios Erev Pesach? Where the Mishnah establishes that we bring the Korban Pesach, that we shech the Tamid as early as 7.5 or maybe even as early as 6.5 hours. What are we going to do with Bein Arbayim? So Rava says that we're going to interpret Bein Arbayim in a different way. And Shmona V'mechza is not a Doraisa, it has to do with the massive volumes of Nidorim and Nidovas. So Rava says, Mitzvaso de Tamid, Mishinatu Tzilei Erev. So if you're standing midday and the sun is above you, then only a half hour later will your shadow point towards the east. And we were stuck with Rashi, because Rashi says Dibra Maskel Ella Omar Rava, about 10 maybe 15 lines down from the top of the Omer, Kula Takanta Dirabonani Demida Raisa Kol Sheishos Achronos Ksheiros. Rashi clearly takes the position that already at 12 noon, the end of the 6th hour, the beginning of the 7th hour, it's kosher for the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. Kol Sheish Shos Achronos Ksheiros. You can't get more explicit than that. And then Rashi says, well, let's tag on another half hour. Why should we tag on another half hour? Because Michinotu Tzilei Erev, half hour into the 7th hour, Shachama Nota Lamarov, Vatzel Mizra. You know, it's like Rashi contradicts himself from one line to the other. He opens up by telling us that on a Daraisa level, you can bring the Karban Tamid 12 noon. And then he adds another condition, Mishanatu Tzilei Erev. And all of a sudden, we have to wait another half hour, because when are we going to get Tzilei Erev? Only a half hour later. So what is it? Is it 12 noon or is it a half hour late? So I happen to have a great stroke of luck, Be'ez Hashem, and I have a sefer, which I know you've heard from me many, many times, but I didn't know he had anything on this, called the Harei Keder. And this is volume 2 of Harei Keder. The first volume is dedicated to the Moadim, but Pesach, he has a separate volume for Pesach. And unfortunately, on this perek, he only has one piece. So I was a little disappointed in that. But in this one piece, he says the following. Loshan Rashi Tamua Mineu Be. Mitchila Kosav de Kol Sheishos Achronos Ksheiros. Mashma de Mitchila Sheva, meaning noon, the beginning of the 7th hour, Hu Yochel Akrivus Tamid. Ubisof Kosav Rashi, Dainu Machatzi Sheva Viela. Mashma de Rak Misheishos Umechza Vizmana Tamid. By the way, he has a Rambam to prove that the Rambam certainly assumes that min haTorah, the Zman of Tamid, is Sheish Shosu Mechza, which is like the Seif of Rashi, that Mishinotu Tzilei Erev is a Doraisa Aloch, and we have to wait that extra half hour. So the Rav has a brilliant chap here from a Gemara at the beginning of Masechta Pesachim to prove that the Karban Tamid is kosher from 12 noon. Not like the Rambam, and not like the Mashmos, the implication of Rashi and the Sefer. What did he find at the beginning of Masechta Pesachim on Daf Hey? The Gemara wants to know, at what point is there a mitzvah of Tashbihu to destroy a chametz on Erev Pesach? And the Gemara says that it's from the moment that you would shech the carbon tamid shel ben arbayim. At that moment, chametz becomes awesome and you have to destroy it. Why so? Because the Torah says, Lo sishchat ala chametz dam zivchi. That at the moment that you're shechting the tamid, you're not allowed to have chametz. It means that we're going to derive from this pasuk that the time for beer chametz, the destruction of chametz, is midday. That's Mishay Shol Salamala. We're not adding on an extra, we're not taking on an extra half hour. The Gemara derives that the time for Bir Chametz, that you have to get rid of your Chametz, is equal to the time of the Shechita of the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. Lo Sishchat Al Chametz Am Zivchi. Now, when is the time for Bir Chametz? We call it Achilek, if you're familiar with that principle, means half. Half the day, it means at noon. Already at noon, I'm obligated to get rid of my chametz. If somebody has chametz in their possession on Erev Pesach after the clock strikes 12, he's in trouble. Well, again, it depends on Shol Zmanios, but. And you're deriving that from Shechitas HaTamid? You have no choice mathematically but to derive the conclusion that Midoraisa, you can shech the Karban Tamid at noon. You don't have to wait till Mechza, half of that hour. And that would support what Rashi says here in the Reisha, Kol Sheishos Ksheros. But it's against the second half of Rashi, and it's against the Rambam that we saw before. So the Rav says the following. Vinira, he says, let's go back to Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi says that the time, the Iker time of the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim is 8.5. And he derives from the Pasuk, Ben Arbayim. Chilku l'shnei arovim. So you have 2.5 hours here, 2.5 hours there, totaling 5 with the hour in the middle. So Rava says to him, I don't get it. If you're telling me 8.5 hours is a Doraisa Aloch, and that's Pshat and Ben Arbayim, how could we ever bring the Korban Pesach? I mean, tell you how could we ever establish that the Talmud is brought before 8.5 hours, like on Erev Pesach? So the Rav wants to understand, I mean, and what was Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi thinking? Was he of the opinion that the Zman of the Talmud is only Bein Harbayim? At 8.5 hours? Did Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi deny the halacha of Michatzos V'Elech, that the Talmud should be from midday and on? We have to have some defense for Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. See, he says, Vanira, So he says, Sviru Leila Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, the bedin shel tamid shel bein abayim tarte ika. You hear the, you know, the resonate, the call of Brisk is here. We're back in the city of Brisk, you know, 150 years ago. Tarte ika. Chado. Iker din shel bein abayim. Asher uzman shchitas atomid. Ubazen nira dim novo ladun al zman shal akrovas karban tamin shal ben arbayim pasha dimichatzos v'yelech avizmano. The time for the karban is midday, exactly when the clock strikes noon. Dechol zman zeh shemichotz v'yelech avizman echad shel ben arbayim. Bein Arbayim means this entire period of time, starting from Chatzos V'Elech. Aber Yesh Odin, Shenemar B'Bein Arbayim, D'Maisa Shchita, V'Akrovas HaKarmon Shel Tamid. That's already a different din. V'Tzarech L'Chalko Bein Shnei Aravim. V'din ze eino din bizmana karbon. Elo din b'maisa krov. Do you have it, Rabosai? Again, if we had a whiteboard, I would write these words on top. There's a din of zmana karbon, and there's a din of zman hakrovas hakarbon, or shchitas hakarbon. It's aloch in the maisa krov. He says, Aval ein ze shaykh le guf. I would say li etzem le zman hakarbon klal. It's amazing how abstract this is. In other words, if you ask me when the zman hakarbon is, it's from chatzos and on. If you ask me when I should be shechting the carbon, it's a half hour later. The gamle Rabbi Shimon Levi hach din de shach as la soso. Ain't a likuva. The low shunnel of a kos of Liakiv. Elu mitzvah bialma shasia satomitia ben arbay. He calls it mitzvah bialma shasia satomid. Tia bein arbayim. Masha enkin etzem zman shel atomid mechatzos v'yelech. He says, "Umeato." I'm skipping a little bit. Nira loma degam rova de pliga reb shum levi svirle mitzvah so. The Tommy Mishinotu Tzolia Erev Gam Rava Svirle the trade Dini Ika. There are two Dinim in Tommy. Ika is Manu Mishay Shol Sulamala. And that's why Rashi says that 6 hours are Ksheros. Ach Yesh Odin, he calls it a Din Nosav, Basias Hakorbon, She Asioso She Korev Michi Yinotu Tzolia Erev. It's almost as if, when we get to the actual implementation of the karbon, we want everyone to know that we've hit Bein Arbayim. Truth is, we hit Bein Arbayim a half hour ago, at the beginning of the seventh hour, but nobody knows that. Why? Because I stand in the middle of the, under the sun, and I don't, excuse me, I don't see my shadow. Excuse me. So how do I know? How does everybody know? We don't have watches. At what point do I know that it's Bein Arbayim? When I see my shadow, that's a half hour later. So the Torah, when it comes to implementation of the mitzvah of the Akrova, the Ma'is Akrova, the Torah wants to make sure it's nikar, it's clear to everyone. And the Torah adds a tag on of an extra half hour, minotu tzlo le'erev. But if you ask me when is this man that's kosher, the answer is from chatzol, from the middle of the day and on. So zer gakdin nosaf asiyas hakarmon sheikarev michiyot notu tzolei erev. Ach zman, if you're talking about the zman of the karmon, is eno ze eno zman be'etzem ha-karmon tamid. Eludin be'maisa ha-krovas ha-tamid she'yeh karev michinotu tzlole tzlole erev. Okay, then Rabosa, I mean, I'm just excited about the fact that Rav Soloveitchik was sensitive to this problem, that he in a sense, commensurates with us, he empathizes with us, and he too is trying to figure out how Rashi can open up with Kol Shei Shos Ksheiros and then go on to Tzilei Erev. I mean, there's a stira, and the implication of Rashi, it's all Doraisa. And the answer is that when we talk about the zman of a karbon, that's not necessarily the time that you actually bring the karbon. It's halach in the zman of karbon. So the zman of karbon is kol shei shos, from the midday. You're talking about when you actually bring the karbon. Here the Torah says, you know what? Bring it a half hour later when everybody clearly sees. It's not, nobody could argue with you and throw you rotten tomatoes and say, well, it's not yet the middle of the day. It's clearly the middle of the day. And test it out if you don't trust me. Stand under the sun and you'll see your shadow. Okay. So those are some of the things I wanted to share with you. Okay, Rabosai, so Beli Neder, tomorrow we'll pick up the sugya of Rabba Bar Ula here on Daf Nun Chesam Beis. We'll wrap it up on Daf Nun Chesam Aleph and turn to Nun Chesam Beis. So we can summarize actually Tosus and Psachim on Daf Nun Tes. We didn't get to that. Dibra Maskel Yeuchar Dover, that even though the Karban Tomid is Tadir, I still need a Pasuk to teach me Bo'erev and Ubeinu Harbayim, because we would have thought Na'avamina that Pesach should come first, despite the Tadir, before the Talmud, because Olel Hashleim. In other words, Tosu is basically asking, why do we need a special Pasuk to teach me that the Pesach comes after the Talmud? Why don't you just derive from the universal principle of Talmud is Tadir and Tadir Shena Tadir Tadir Kodim? And Tosus answers, the Havmina would have been that we cannot apply the Kedima Halacha of Tadir to Tamid because of the Halacha of Alel Hashem is Karel Karbonos Kulam. Now, once we learn from Hashlama that Yeuchar Dover Shenever Bo Ba'erev. Oh no, I'm sorry. Once we learn from the extra Ba'erev that Pesach has to come later, after the Karban Talmud, so then is that a special halacha in the Karban Pesach that the Karban Pesach should come after the Talmud? Or maybe it's not a special halacha in Pesach that the Zman of the Pesach is after the Talmud, but rather, what we're learning from the Pasuk of Ba'erev is that with regard to Pesach, there's no din of Olel HaHashlem. Is Memela the reason why Pesach comes after the Tamid is because of the universal principle of Tadir V'Sheina Tadir? And perhaps this is the Machlokes here in the Rishonim. In other words, if you hold that that Tamid comes before the Pesach because of the general din of Tadir V'Sheina Tadir, so we're not deriving some unique halacha in Pesach that the Zman of the Pesach is after the Talmud, but rather we're using this Pasuk of Ba'erev to teach me that we don't have a din of Hashlem, and Memela, the Talmud comes before the Pesach because of the general application of Tadir V'Sheino Tadir.
And then we could simply equate Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni. It's all Kechol Chukas HaPesach, that Pesach Sheni, like Pesach Rishon, doesn't have the din of Aleil Hashleim, and therefore you have to be makriv of the Talmud before Pesach because of the general din of Tadav V'Sheni and Tadav Kodim. So therefore we're not going to ask Akasha that in the absence of Ba'erev you should have to bring the Pesach Sheni before the Talmud because of the principle of Hashlama. But now we're saying no, that maybe we're going to derive from Pesach that the extra Bo'erev in Pesach, Rishon, teaches you that you don't have Hashlama with regard to Pesach. Is Memela, we go back to the general rule of Tadir. And therefore he can be Makar of the Pesach Sheni even after the Talmud. That's the Shita of Tosin Yuma that we mentioned earlier. Okay, we'll stop here.